Today is August 28, 2016. This is a Monday. We are in the offices of the Canyon Rio offices here in Flagstaff. This is a Grand Canyon Historical Society oral interview. And today we are with Mike Herndon, H-U-R-N-D-O-N, and his son Max, and Rick Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. My name is Tom Martin. And we're here today because Mike and his son Max, along with Rick, have just returned from taking a whole bunch of kayaks through Grand Canyon. And that happens, you know, often, especially in the summer here, except that Max happens to be 12 years old. So Max, what's your birthday?
My birthday is May 5th on 2005.
Cool.
May 19th.
May 19th.
So it's a good thing we have the voice of reason here.
He's just a little nervous. It's all good.
Nervous? Yeah. Forget it. How long have you been kayaking?
Well, I got my first boat, the Dagger Dynamo, whenever I was 5 years old. So I've had it for a good bit. So that's whenever I started flatwater kayaking, but it wasn't really until last year I started doing whitewater kayaking.
So the Dagger Dynamo when you were five. Now I'm looking at your dad going, was this something you were thinking, hey, this might be cool for my son to get into?
Yeah, Tom, I had been into whitewater kayaking for several years prior to Max's fifth birthday, and I'm very focused on things we can do, not singly, but more as a family. And Max had his fifth birthday, and I was able to find a Dagger Dynamo, which is basically like a kid's RPM, which is very popular, a slicey boat, but a great river runner. It obviously was big for him when he was only a mere 5 years old, but now, move fast forward to him being 12, it's his absolute favorite go-to A-boat for river play, river fun.
Cool. And so when at what point did you think, Max, hey, there's a wave over there or something a little more than flat water that I want to get into?
Last year, I went to the NOC Kids Camp, and I learned a lot there. I was in the advanced group, and they helped me work on my roll because I didn't really know much about rolling, and I wasn't very good at it. And at that point, I was very comfortable in my Little Hero because it was very stable, and I strongly disliked my Dynamo. But after the kids' camp, I learned a little bit more about edging, and then after that, I thought my Dynamo was much more stable. So that's what got me to start liking it.
What's edging?
Like ferrying, peeling out, peeling in, making turns. Like, if I were to make a turn downstream, I'd lean into the turn, so that'd be edging my boat over.
Cool. And what was, before this trip now through Grand Canyon, what was the longest river trip that you've done in your boat, in your kayak?
It'd probably be a flat water trip, camping somewhere. I think we did like a 10-mile thing one time, a 10-mile paddle whenever I was like 8 maybe, and it was with a few other friends, and I was in a long sea kayak kind of, as a Dagger Vesper. It was really big for me. But yeah, that's probably the longest paddle I've been on.
Okay. And then Mike, when did you know this trip would come together?
Tom, I applied for the lottery February a year and a half ago, and beginner's luck, first time. The first date I was selected for a August 15th launch of this year, 2017, and you know, I was very probably surprised, but also grateful, obviously. And initially, we were going to do a kayak only self-supported trip. Rick was in on the trip at a very early date in the planning. He had done a January trip that year with Woody Calloway and the Liquid Logic Group, and when he asked me what date, and I said August, his eyes got very large, and he was in at the immediate next response. August, heck yeah, was his response. So glad to have him along. And so initially, when I got the permit, Max was a good kayaker, but obviously not to the point where he would be considered, you know, viable to come down the Grand Canyon in his own boat. As time progressed and we started building the team, there were some discussions and somewhat input about bringing some rafts, and you know, wanting to be kind of open to input to everyone on the team, we finally opted to bring three rafts, which that immediately brought, from my perspective, instead of being singularly self-focused on doing something for me, if I can do anything with my family, especially my children, that makes it not only worthwhile, but also much more fulfilling. The challenge at that point, as Max's skills were increasing over the last year, and I knew that he would likely be able to handle the Grand Canyon, or at least partially, because we had the rafts as an option, the challenge was convincing his mother, my beloved wife, to allow or support that decision. It took about 12.75 months to convince her to finally agree to let him come down. And I think she, at this point, knows and has seen his skills and is very confident and comfortable. And so it's all glorious at this point.
Well, having gone through childbirth, your wife does not want to lose your child.
Exactly. Okay?
And there's a reason why the women in the relationship are called the voice of reason.
Sure.
Okay, the voice of reason.
Sure.
And so you're going to thank your mom when you get home for letting you go.
Sure.
Because it's a big deal if she did and she didn't come along with you. That's
sure.
That means a lot.
And yeah. I will share too, Tom, you know, when I processed this initially, coming just by myself would be very easy. I retired from the Army 8 months after 30 years, so a 15-day trip down the Grand Canyon, hey, that's a vacation. When I wanted to add the fact of not only responsibility, but also the enjoyment in the end of my 12-year-old son doing that, I had a substantial and known additional amount of concern, if not stress. But obviously when you did the equation, and here as we're sitting at the end of the trip, it was very much well worth it, and would do it in one half a second if given a chance again in the future.
And did you get a chance to see the change in Max and his boating through his summer camp last year?
No doubt, Tom. His skills through the Nantahala Outdoor Center, he's been to now three camps there, two standard summer camps, and then he did a advanced only week-long camp there, which is in Bryson City, North Carolina. I worked there as a part-time kayak instructor at the paddle school. Now that I've retired from the Army, as my wife told me, I needed to get out of the house. And but as I've seen his progression, not only through my training, if not browbeating, about his kayaking skills, but also the coach-teaching mentorship of the other instructors at Nantahala Outdoor Center, he has moved from an intermediate to, I will say, an upper-level advanced paddler, not just only for a 12-year-old, but as I said many times as we were leading up to this trip, and that people would learn we were going to the Grand Canyon, who you're going with, my standard statement was myself, my 12-year-old son, and 12 other arguably mature men, meaning I wasn't worried about my son, you know, with his paddling skill or his ability to mesh with the group dynamics, and he far exceeded standard.
So, Max, if you go on YouTube, you can see a lot of horrendous YouTube videos of people crashing and burning in Grand Canyon. Did you do that before the trip at all?
Like crashing or watching the videos?
Both. No, not you crashing, but watching videos of someone else crashing.
I had only really watched one video of someone running lava.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group of people, and it was a pretty cool video. Most people went left of the ledge hole, but there was one raft that went right in the ledge hole. So the raft got flipped and the guy swam. But that was the only video I had seen of the Grand Canyon.
Did that give you some trepidation or a little worry ahead of time?
It did, because, I mean, it can change, but it'd still be big because it was the hardest. It was named the hardest rapid on the river, so... I was very worried because it's the biggest water I'd ever done, but it was very exciting as well.
Well, let's talk about that and back up. What was the hardest rapid for you?
Personally, I would think Crystal or Hans would be the hardest because Crystal, I hit that big hole by accident, but on Hans, it was very technical if you didn't want to hit a certain hole or go a certain way, so I thought Hans was very technical. But Crystal is very big and wide, so it was harder to miss it, and it snuck up on me. So I hit the hole, and I got flipped, but I ended up rolling up. And we had one person swim Crystal, but we had known some hands.
Well, let's back up a bit. Because the reality of Grand Canyon is a little different, I think, than the YouTube phenomena might be. Did you find that the fact that you had a way to kind of start at Lee's Ferry and go through the Paria Riffle and then do a lot of flat water and then Cathedral Wash and then more flat water and then Badger, it's like the first kind of big thing, and look at that, and then more flat water and then Soap Creek and then more flat water and then you get into the Roaring Twenties. Did that build you up a little bit and help you ease into where you were?
Yes, because whenever we went through Paria Riffle, it was like, for a one, it was pretty big to us because we had never been through anything that was just like big waves. So it was pretty like weird feeling because we had never really experienced anything like that. And we're like, this is a one at first, but I think after a while we started to realize and get comfortable doing the bigger waves. And I found that the Grand Canyon, like compared to the Ocoee River, it doesn't have as many holes. But the holes are different if there are, because the holes at like the Ocoee are like ledge holes. They're very deep, but the holes here are different from what I'm used to. But it was just different because the waves were huge as well. Because I'd never been through big waves except Double Trouble, which isn't very big compared to the waves like at Hermit.
Where is Double Trouble?
Oh, that's on the Ocoee. It's one of the rapids.
Okay.
It's about halfway through the middle Ocoee River. So,
cool. So
it was just different.
Is Grand Canyon, like, more flushy? Does it have more water? Is it more of a bigger volume type river then?
Yeah, as I saw, it was a lot bigger volume. But some of the holes on the Ocoee were a lot more sticky, and they could hold you longer. So,
thank you.
That was one of the things that helped me get through it. Like, as worry-wise, it kind of let me know that if I got in a hole, I wasn't going to stay there as long as I would be if I was, like, in Broken Nose or on the Ocoee or somewhere like Godzilla or Humongous.
Okay, that would make sense. Yeah. So, hence, entrance at the top and a bunch of big stuff at the bottom, kind of hard to miss. How did that go for you then?
So we had picked out a line, my dad went kind of where I wanted to go at the top. It was more to the left, and I went too far to the right, and there's a deep hole. It looked pretty retentive, but I was just barely to skirt it to the right, and then I made my way hard left, and my dad made it hard right into the holes in the Land of Giants. So my bottom line was pretty smooth, but my top line wasn't.
Okay. And so were you able to watch your dad kind of get churned up a little bit over there and go, gee, I'm glad I'm not over there?
Yeah, in the Land of Giants, like, one of the holes broke on top of him, and he called it the Bat Cave, and he got flipped over. So I was kind of glad I didn't go over there, but it seemed pretty fun as well.
So were you able to look at the rapids and go, you know, there's a little quieter line over here, I can go for the meet over there, and then go according to how you felt you wanted to deal with the rapid at the time?
I could, because I could see where there wasn't, like, as big as a hole, or more holes, or, like, there's more waves that are long and not as breaking, and less likely to flip you over.
Mm-hmm.
So I generally took the smaller routes, unless it was something that looked fun, like a big wave, like in Hermit. So, yeah, that's mainly
that. Did you get on the train in Hermit?
I did. So I heard that the fifth wave was the biggest, so I counted four waves, and the fourth wave was huge, so I'm like, this must be the fifth wave. Then I went over the fourth wave and realized that the fifth wave was after that, and it was huge, and I had already angled left, so I hit it at a left angle, and it flipped me under. And I dropped my paddle with my right hand, but I held onto it with my left hand, and then I grabbed it underwater and rolled up right before the hole at the bottom.
So by the time you ran Hermit, before you got to Crystal, did you get a sense that your boating skills from launch day at Lee's Ferry had changed?
I did get a sense that they had changed, because I felt very comfortable running the big stuff, like on granite, like towards the right, and the big waves and Hermit. So I could definitely tell that my boating skills had definitely adjusted to the bigger water.
Cool. So as you went along, did things look more comfortable? Were you feeling a little more, you know, just...
So somewhere like the Ocoee, like if you go over a big wave, there's normally like a hole at the bottom, but here it's just more like another wave is behind it. So every time I went over a wave, I'm like, oh no, there's going to be like a huge hole behind it, but there never was. So, yeah.
Cool. So, Crystal, Crystal's got a kind of series of big holes there, big walls of water. And did you try that right run then to work on the right or left? How did you go?
I hadn't really looked at it too much, so I tried to go right, but I realized I wasn't right enough. So I ended up hitting this hole on the right. It's kind of towards the bottom. And I hit it, and I got flipped under, and I just rolled back up. And then we had one swimmer there, so we had to go reconsolidate him. And then I had to grab his paddle, and then we went to the bottom and just got everything together.
Great. Nice. And then, so below Crystal, you got to run the gems down there. That worked out all right? That was fun?
Yeah, I don't really remember any of the gems in particular. Because, I mean, like, compared to Crystal, or, like, granted, it wasn't as much.
Hmm.
And it's big water. So, like, those rapids I didn't really recall.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about lava. How did that work out?
The video I saw and whenever I saw in person, it looked completely different. It looked very, like, the ledge hole, it looked like the line on the left was much more open. But it wasn't. There was a huge hole after this wave. And then there's the ledge hole right next to it on the right. So we went in four waves. First it was me, my dad, and Mason. And then we had Reed and Keith. And then we had the rafts. And then we had Rick and Matt. So my dad led first. And then I went behind him. And Mason followed me. So we wanted to skirt the ledge hole and then work our way right. So, work our way left, my bad. And then, so, I didn't really see what my dad did too much, but I remember I totally turned my boat to the left, almost upstream, but I never got anywhere. I got pushed right into the V-wave, so I hit that backwards, and then so I had to high brace because I almost flipped over, and I was, like, sitting there bumping up and down while I'm high bracing. And then I saw Mason was far, far left, and he had probably the best line. But and then we worked our way left, and then we took video of the other people going down.
Fun, great. What were your thoughts at the top of the rapid, and then what were your thoughts at the bottom of the rapid?
So, I didn't think lava was all that bad as long as you missed the ledge hole. So I was thinking at the top. I mean, I was nervous because you can't really not be nervous.
Welcome to the crowd.
So, because you hear all these stories about lava, and it just freaks you out. But as long as you miss the ledge hole, you're pretty much good. And then, so, at the bottom, me, Mason, my dad were all cheering and celebrating. And then we got out. Reed and Keith took a long time to get in their boat, but they eventually did it. And Keith and Reed both ran far right. And they hit the V wave, and they hit the hole in the big wave at the bottom. And then that's how we fell. And then the rafts took a pretty good amount of time. Dylan and Russ went first. They hit the V wave pretty straight on. And they hit all the other stuff. And basically all the rafts did the same thing. Jimmy had probably the most straightforward clean line. He did lose an oar with one hand at the bottom, but it wasn't a big deal. And then Rick had to go drop his camera stuff off in the raft and then go, because he's taking pictures up on the rock. And then so Matt also had to go do that, and Matt ran it by himself. And Matt got flipped in the V-wave and carped about two times. And a carp is where you go to roll up, but you bring your head up so you fall back over. And then so after the second carp, usually people pull the skirt and swim. But Matt stayed in for one more roll, and he rolled up, so that was really good. Because I was like, oh no, Matt's going to swim, and it's going to be so bad. But it was all good. And then Rick did it, and he hit the V-Wave, and he got straight up and down and like this and then fell backwards. And then so he rolled up, and then he rolled up backwards, and he was surfing this giant wave right in front of the hole behind it at the bottom. So that was mostly the emotions, was I just wanted everyone to get down because it was like 5 o'clock and we were all tired of the flat water and we had a terrible headwind that day.
Let's talk about for a bit, how many nights was your trip actually, how many nights were you on the river?
We had 13 nights. So
yeah, 13 nights, 14
13 nights and 14 days. We were going to do 15 days, but we took out a day early.
Okay.
So, I'm happy that we took out a day early, because after lava, there wasn't really much to be excited about. So I was ready to get off the river.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see, and then you guys did a night float out from
Separation.
Is that right? Yeah. And then where did you guys wake up in the morning?
We floated straight to Pierce Ferry Takeout. It took us exactly 12 hours. So
okay.
We left at 7:15 from Separation Canyon and arrived at Pierce Ferry Landing at 7:15. So
right.
We went straight in.
Okay. So let's forget about the rapids for a bit. What was the funnest thing you saw apart from the rapids?
It'd probably be Elves Chasm, because we got to jump off the waterfall over there, and that was really cool, and it was really deep, and there's another little ledge you can jump off of, and the water was clear and it wasn't cold, so it was pretty cool to go check out Elves Chasm. And Deer Creek was also pretty fun because there's that waterfall you got to go under, and that water was pretty warm, and the like wind would blow in your face from the water splashing down, so that was a lot of fun.
Cool. What troubled you? What worried you the most? What was the hardest thing for you on the trip? And it could have been just cracks on your hands or the sand or I don't know.
I got chafed really bad, so it hurts really bad to walk. So, but I think rapid-wise, it would be upset because there's that huge hole. And I almost hit it by accident because I thought I was clear of it, but I wasn't. And I got a little bit of this side, of the right side of it, because I started far left and I worked my way hard right. And then I got a little bit of the right side of the hole. And my dad went, he was the only one who went left. And then Jimmy, who has all my stuff in it, and I got scared to death, he went right into the middle of the hole. And I was like, Jimmy, what are you doing, man? You got my stuff. And then so... but he made it out, and we didn't have any raft flips out of the whole trip, so that was good. So I'm glad that happened, that no one flipped.
That's great. So chafing, what would you do next time so that didn't trouble you so much?
Wear more underwear.
Okay. Right. I mean, it's simple. Or talcum powder or any of that kind of junk. Yeah. Because I mean, everybody has that problem when you're wet, your butt's wet, and you're day after day after day after day. That's a normal gig. For the next 12-year-old that comes along, what would you recommend?
If you want to take Mountain Dews, make sure that you have them separate from everyone else. Because someone took some of mine, and I was a little upset because I had one for every night, but then I didn't have one for every night. Like, just keep your stuff separate, because some people think, well, this is kind of community stuff in the cooler, so they just take, if you don't have your name on it, like, I threw my Mountain Dews in, like, and then, so, just make sure you have all your stuff, and maybe grab, like, if you're going to take, like, a zebra cake, like we did, make sure you have one for every night, because we can only have so many every night. And since we did that, we forgot to have some nights, so we had to eat, like, 2 packs last night, which was very good, though. And, make sure you try out the food before you take it, because there's some food that you might not like, but you just take it.
What food didn't you like?
Well, so, we brought salmon and pesto pasta. It's a backpacker pantry meal. It's very expensive, and I thought I would like it, but it wasn't very good at all, and I never had it. But, yeah, I liked most of the stuff that we ate, like the beef stroganoff. I never had that, but my dad said it was good.
Cool.
I like the granola and blueberries, which I had tried before, and I liked it. So, yeah, that's what I'd recommend. Just make sure you like the food. Make sure you have all of your equipment, and make sure it all works.
Keep your soft drinks away from the adult ravens.
Yes.
Okay, it's late in the evening. You haven't had dinner yet. You haven't been for a shower, which you haven't had for umpteen days. What do you want to tell somebody 50 years from now that might listen to this recording?
Like what I would have done differently.
You know, these adults will ask you open-ended questions. It's kind of open-ended question. You make up what you want.
I would tell them that, like, if they have the chance to do it, or at least try to get the chance to do it, that they should, because it was a really great experience and it was a lot of fun. But I have a lot of schoolwork to make up now, so make sure that you have, like, your schoolwork done or you have it ready. Or, like, if you can get your work done before you go down the Grand Canyon, go ahead and do it, because I'm going to have a lot of stuff to do before I get back, or whenever I get back. So, yeah, that's one thing I would recommend.
Do you think it's worth it to have that backlog of schoolwork and to get away from school for a while to do a trip like this?
I do, because it was a great experience, and you can't learn something like this at school. So I really enjoyed the trip, and I learned a lot of stuff. Like, I saw a lot of land formations. I saw, like, how the water could change in front of you. I saw a lot of different stuff, and I learned a lot of history behind the Grand Canyon as well. So that also goes with schoolwork.
So now I'm going to ask a question for your dad. What's your vision of parenting?
Vision of parenting is, first and foremost, I think, is role modeling. Doing the right thing when perhaps no one is watching, but we should always know our kids are always watching. They never forget anything. But also, ever since my kids were infants, we have provided them exposure to things that I learned, and perhaps even my wife learned much later in life, that we wish we'd learned earlier. So we do a lot of outdoor family events, include kayak camping for New Year's Eve and other events. My 8-year-old daughter, Max's sister, she's an 8-year-old whitewater kayaker that we hope to get back down here maybe in 18 months to do the exact same thing her bigger brother did. And we just talked with her on the phone a few minutes ago, and she is so incredibly proud of him. Her words unprompted. And when we told her that we were going to meet with Tom Martin, she was like, "Is Tom Martin famous?" And we go, "Well, I think he certainly is." And then she realized, seeing your name on the river map, like, she just got ecstatic. And but I will share with you, I've probably been away from Lee's Ferry 4 miles, and I immediately realized the parental and also spousal obligation that I now have to get my wife and daughter back down here. And that is something that I will work diligently and feel confident we can do as a family again, and perhaps with other families, from the perspective of, once you've done the canyon one time, I think everyone knows that they want to share it with others through experience, because you can't describe it with words or pictures even closely. They have to come themselves. And the fulfillment of bringing others to things that we know are truly therapeutic and also educational, but also maturing. Max being a 12-year-old with a group of men from 22 years old to 61, he was not the kid of the group, he was one of the team members. And as a father, his paddling skills were absolutely extraordinary. Out of this world. But the thing that makes me the most proud is he pulled his own weight, and he was a contributing member of the team. But I think the other members, to a T, valued and enjoyed him being there with them. So as Big Papa, couldn't be more proud.
Awesome. I can't thank you enough for doing what you're doing with your family. It's terrifying. It's dangerous. So it seems today. But there was a time when young men were empowered early in life to do things. And so I thank you for doing this. I know it must not be easy, but I just thank you so much for taking the time to try.
Well, thanks for your sentiments, Tom. Mm-hmm. That means a lot, hearing that. And, you know, the labor of love comes to mind. Yeah, while it's labor. It's something that, as a parent, I know is part of the things we should do. And I totally know where you're coming from with the way we were raised, a different generation. We were put in these challenging, perhaps risky situations. In today's culture, it's not as prevalent. And I think we as male parents have an obligation to get maybe back to that, at least in a partial sense. So, yeah, I agree with you, Tom.
Is there anything else you would like to add to this interview as we wrap things up now?
Yeah, like if you just get the chance to ever do the Grand Canyon, I suggest you don't waste it because it's an awesome thing to do. And not many people get to do it in their lifetime. So it's an awesome experience.
Cool. Mike, you?
Kind of similar. I think, again, the experience of doing it is something that can't be described with words or pictures. And I think it, in varying ways, is life-changing once you enter the canyon. And as many people say, they don't want to leave. And we all have to leave, but you want to come back. But I'll also share with, as I would like to be known in my legacy, if nothing else, as a Christian man. And I found it very interesting, if not almost expected. There weren't a lot of overt members of the faith community in our team so much, but I'll tell you, before we ran Crystal, me and Max do a daily prayer every day. Almost every member of the team came and gathered around. We circled in arms, and there was a prayer of gratitude, a prayer of thanksgiving, and a request for oversight. And the same was done as a group before we ran Lava. And to me, wanting to be known as a Christian man, that was the most fulfilling thing on the trip. And there was a lot of other things, too. So that's how I ended, Tom. Thanks for your time. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
We also did prayer before, Hans. Like, after Keith swam, because there was big water that day. We were all scared.
Sure.
So.
Well, this is interesting, because wilderness, I think, is about humility.
Amen.
It helps us realize we are very small people in a very big world where there are powers beyond us that we do not know and comprehend.
Right.
And to seek their blessing, we are stupid not to do that.
Amen. Amen.
Max and Mike and Rick, you're back here. Thank you very, very much. This is a Grand Canyon Historical Society oral interview. Today is the 28th of August, 2017. And I want to thank you all so much for participating in this.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Tom.
God bless you.
Sincerely, that was awesome. Now, Rick, I know you took pictures. I'd like to get a picture of me and Max with Tom,
sure,
maybe outside before you...